Hi, I'm Jessica Schiller Silverman, and I want to warmly welcome you to the Alive podcast, where wellness and business come to life. I stepped away from a six-figure career in venture capital in San Francisco to start my own venture, all inspired initially from a podcast. Learn how in this powerful show full of golden nuggets that will help you learn how you can come alive in your creative prowess while creating financial and energetic flow. Each episode will uncover my secrets to debunking the starving artist myth. Come on, enjoy the ride and come alive with me.
The Live Vibrant Sisterhood is calling women who seek to reignite the feminine within, to soften and surrender, and reawaken her soul signature to rediscover the lost parts of herself. We are inviting you to speak up instead of staying safe in your silence or feeling alone in your emotions every day, to feel courageous and empowered in your choices, to stand tall in your truth and not be afraid to speak up, to find your way independent of the world's demands on your time and energy, to release repressed emotions that are keeping you stuck in spirals, to know yourself like never before. As the great Aristotle said, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom, to live a vibrant life. Are you ready to live vibrant? Take a peek at bit.ly/livevibrant2022. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Alive podcast. Today, I am truly, truly honored. I know I always say that, but today I'm truly honored to be in the presence of design genius, Tanya Nayak. Tanya Nayak is one of the nation's foremost interior designers. She became a household name as a design expert member on HGTV and Food Network. Tanya owns a successful Boston-based interior design firm, Tanya Nayak Design Inc., where she adds a fresh, clean look to both commercial and residential spaces. Known for her sunny smile and sharp eye, Tanya Nayak's approachable take on interior design has won over everyone from rock stars to first-time homebuyers. Tanya's knack for bringing rich textures and unexpected finishes together with practical real-life functionality has made her a go-to expert for design programs on major networks, including ABC, HGTV, and Food Network. Tanya has served as host and designer for a variety of HGTV mainstays, my favorite shows, Designed to Sell, Billion Dollar Block, House Hunters on Vacation, and Urban Oasis in Boston, and most recently, Battle on the Beach. Tanya is a featured designer on Robert Irvine's Food Network series, Restaurant Impossible, where she utilized her design prowess and professional experience to rescue and transform suffering restaurants. Married to Brian O'Donnell, a successful restaurateur in Boston, Tanya's personal life as both an interior designer and a restaurant industry insider is the perfect parallel to her multifaceted design role in the television realm. In 2005, she started her own design firm, Tanya Nayak Design Inc. And lastly, something that really touched my heart is she's an active participant helping to raise funds for charitable organizations such as Akshaya Patra, No Kid Hungry, Room to Dream, Smile Train, and many more. Welcome to the podcast, Tanya. It's an honor.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you. I know we've been trying for a little while, and initially I was having ear surgery, and I thought I'll be fine the next day. I'll just, you know, we'll do this podcast. And girl, I was a hot mess. So I apologize for that. Okay. I'm glad it worked out that we're finally here. And yeah. My surgery thing is, you know, healing well.
Oh, I'm glad you're feeling better. And you know, it's moments like that that just remind me that there's humanity in life, right? Mm-hmm. I think so much we want everything to go perfect and as planned. And it's really moments like that that I think we can learn, you know, and really lean into the humanity of it all. So thank you so much for your patience in the process too.
Yeah, of course. Happy. I you know, it's funny because I'm new to the podcast world myself. And so I get it. You know, I felt so bad because I know how much preparation it takes, how much research, and then even just building yourself up, like just to have that conversation with the person on the other side. And then for it, like, kind of last minute to get put on hold or whatever is always sort of a bummer. So trust me, been there, done that. I got it. I get that feeling. So I wanted you to know that how genuinely sorry I was that we weren't able to chat that time.
That's okay. I believe in a concept called divine timing, right? We have like Chronos time, which is like chronological, and then Kairos, which is kind of just divine time. So I just think something in the cosmos, universe, spirit wanted us to wait to have this divine encounter. And so I'm just going to lean into that today. And again, just really an honor to have you. So I know you a bit from what I can glean on TV and of course some of the research, right, that goes on behind the scenes for this episode. But who is Tanya Nyack?
I would say before anything else, before I would lean into saying I'm a designer, or I'm a TV personality, I'm a friend, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, you know, these are things that are really important to me and are actually the most important to me above and beyond everything else. And I think that I find myself to be more grounded in my industry because of those influences in my life, you know? So, but other than all of that, also dog mom, who I love my little pups so much. And then I've had my design career straight out of university. You know, I was studying, got my master's in interior architecture. And then there was this audition for a TV show. I auditioned, I got that. I mean, this is the real long story short version of it, but it just sort of set this path for me that kind of emanated. And it was a career change for me because I did my undergrad in business marketing. You know, I did a bunch of jobs, whatever. I didn't love it. Wasn't making me that happy. And so then I ended up going back to school. And I think it was that decision to follow my heart and do something that I really love, where suddenly these doors just started popping open, like literally bursting open, you know, and it just felt like the right, sort of the right direction. So yes, that's who I am.
I love that. And I love what you just said about how when you follow your heart, it's like more doors open, right? More opportunities that were aligned came into your aura, right? Into your space. And I think because of that, right? So many people have these aspirations or have these dreams, but they let the fears or whatever else is kind of going on, obligations in life, kind of cloud that. So what do you think gave you the courage at that point to really follow your heart?
It's funny because you use the word fear, and it's such a strong thing that holds us back. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the unknown. There's so many things that kind of hold us back. And I think that when I said doors opened, I mean, they popped open. It wasn't like it wasn't like I had a whatever, but if I really am being honest with myself, I had to take that first step. I had to go in and do an audition out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean? I was with all of my peers from my school for this audition, people that I looked up to, people that I thought were incredible. And that was a scary thing because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was as great or talented as they were. And I went into that audition and I got it. And it just, taking that initial step was the conquering the fear, that part of it. But I've always had this thing where we all have our fears, right? Everybody has something that they're afraid of. I have always, always, for some weird reason, the more terrified I am about something, the more I want to do it once so that I never have to be terrified of it again because I did it. And even if I fail miserably at it, it's okay because it's that the fear of it is gone now and I just did it. So now I can try to do it again and know that, you know what, I did it and I'm alive. I survived, you know, let's do it again.
Yeah. I actually have a quote. It's one of my isms. The fear of the doing is worse than the doing. And that exactly speaks to what you just said. Like we build up so much in our minds as to like what can happen or what's the worst thing. And right. And all that I think is worse than actually, like you said, once you do it once, even if you fail miserably, you did it and you survived and you thrived. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, it probably isn't a lick of a, you know, as bad as you thought, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's for someone who's going on a roller coaster, right? The first time you're the anticipation, the angst, the feeling in your stomach, the fast beat of your heart, all of the sweat, you know, the dry mouth, all of these things that happen before that roller coaster takes off. It's like if that anxiety is what stops people. But the minute you're buckled in, there's no turning back. You can't get out. And then you're it's go. And you get off that roller coaster. You're like, I want to do it again. Like, let's go. Let's do this again. That was fun. Terrifying. But I survived it. And I think it's the survival of it that actually makes it fun. Because you're like, oh my gosh, wait. Am I alive? What just happened?
Exactly. Checkpoints. Yeah. And it actually, I study a lot of neuroscience. They've done studies as to how it does every time you face your fear, no matter how small, it rewires some of the neurons, right? And patterns in your brain that your nervous system is triggered by when you don't, right? Take the fear, right? Fight, flight, freeze. When you kind of go through the motion and actually take the action. That's why I say, you know, that it's not as bad as, you know, you initially thought. And then that sort of comfort creates new patterns, new neural pathways in the brain that, like you said, yeah, let's go on this roller coaster again. And let's do this.
Well, there's a lot of people like they call them, you know, like those solo climbers, you know, and they say that neurologically, there's something in their brain that's like a blocker that they don't have that fear that most people have. So I feel like there's different levels of it that people have or don't have. I certainly have the fears, you know, but I think I'm lucky enough that I'm able to just say, fuck it. I'm just going to try it. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then I don't have to do it again. Yeah.
At least you don't have to wonder what would happen if you didn't, you know, you've tried it. And that's what I think life is, really. I feel like we're put here on earth to experiment, to play, right? It's kind of part of the whole fun of life. And so when you don't, and I've been at many points, of course, being an entrepreneur, riding those waves of fear and anxiety and just the unknown, right? But it's the times I find, especially with the pandemic, it really shifted. I know myself and just a lot of us really globally have been affected by it, but I went into this cocoon for a while of like just not even feeling safe in the world. And then as a result, not taking risks anymore. And then one day I just woke up and I'm like, this is not me. This is not who I am. And honestly, that safety that you feel like you get from not taking those risks makes you feel so much worse in the long run. So that's kind of the irony of that all.
Right. It becomes very comfortable to stay safe.
Exactly.
But you don't grow that way. You know, you need to challenge yourself and push yourself out of your comfort zone in order to grow. And until you keep doing that, it's just, you're going to, in my opinion, stay stagnant and stay right here. One of the things that I realize is one of my own biggest pet peeves is if somebody says, "Hey, Tanya, what's new?" And if I ever say same old, yeah, we all say it. Oh, you know, same old, no, thank you. I don't want to ever say same old, same old. It's okay to be comfortable. I have the most happy, beautiful life. Adore my husband to pieces. I have a wonderful family. I have a great home and I am comfortable, but I don't want to say same old, because I have to keep pushing myself, you know? Then I don't know if that's for everybody, but that's just me personally.
I love that. So it's kind of your way of catching yourself. Cause yeah, it is default to just say nothing new or same old, right? But when you catch yourself in that moment, you realize, no, we're not the same. Even every second, even you and I are different than when we first started this conversation. And so when you challenge yourself to kind of find these ways that life is different, even moment to moment, I think it really helps you to appreciate, right? And have gratitude for each and every moment, no matter how big or small.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So what strongly influenced, I'm just curious, your design style and desire to pursue this path, this beautiful life that you live?
I feel like now that I've been doing this for a long time, if I was asked that question years ago when I first started and someone said, "Oh, what influenced your design style?" I feel inclined to say, oh, my heritage, or I'm from India, the roots, da da da. The truth is, that's actually not what inspired my design style. If I'm going to be honest with myself, what has inspired my design style is my upbringing. And that is that I grew up in a very middle-class family. My dad is an architect, but his style of architecture is modern and sleek and very clean lines, you know? And so we didn't always have the means to have a home that looked like that, but everything that my parents did, they would do it so that it had this look, like it had the feeling like it was a high-end or modern, not high-end, but modern style. But a lot of times I'd see my dad making a coffee table that sort of replicated, a designer coffee table, or creating things that didn't cost a fortune, but added this sort of sense of luxury. So if I look at my design aesthetic to this day and everything that I've done on TV and all these things that I do in my career to stay authentic, it's always to have livable luxury. So for me, that comes from my childhood and how I grew up. So even my home, I'm not a wild splurger on things. Like I want, when my nephews were little, I want them to be able to come over and spill spaghetti sauce or jump on the couch. I want my dog to be able to sit on my couch. It's fine with me. I don't care. You know what I mean? But I want it to look good, but I want it to be livable. So I think that's really what sort of inspired my aesthetic.
I love that. Livable luxury.
Yep.
That should be a new, I've never actually heard of that design style, but I love how you gave us really the backstory behind that, you know, kind of your upbringing and growing up in a middle-class home and that whole, and this is something that I strive to do as well, you know, because my husband and I are both really hardworking and being an entrepreneur, right? You never kind of know where it's going to come from, but that is the exact style that we try to embody in our home, is this livable luxury, right? We're taking things that are not super expensive, but making them really look beautiful and giving that kind of luscious, luxurious look. I mean, I'm a Taurus, first of all, so aesthetics is everything to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why I'm a big HGTV fan. It just to get that idea and that inspiration, but it doesn't have to cost a fortune.
No. I always think about even the word luxury, richness. It doesn't have to be a monetary richness. It doesn't have to be about money when we talk about luxury. It's like you have a richness within you. Right? Like a richness of your soul, a richness of your heart. And like, if you can implement that in your design aesthetic, then I think that's when people feel like it's a home.
Yes. Yes. That's when you make a house a home.
Right.
So what, when you think of richness, what are some kind of tips if somebody wants to make their home feel that richness, right? In their heart, in their soul, and in their home?
Yeah. I think for longevity, if you are going to put some money into something like a bigger piece, a sofa, or a bed or something like that. I tend to like, I mean, I know we're on Zoom right now. The podcasters may not realize, or listeners may not know that, but you can see my house behind me. Yeah. Obviously very monochromatic. I like texture. So I like to have layers. And I feel like that's a great way to make a place feel luxurious, is when you add layers of texture. Monochromatic, whether you love blues, do different shades of blues. If you love brown or beige, do different shades of beige, but implement texture, wood tones, fabrics, vinyls, whatever it is.
I love that. Yeah, richness of texture and layers, monochromatic, wood tones, fabric. What about colors? Is there like a certain color palette that you...
I'm more neutral girl. So I tend to not go bright and bold with color. I can tell that you love color.
I do.
You
know,
or pops of color anyways, which is always a nice thing. What I advise people when they're really trying to figure out what their design style is I always say to them to look in your closet, and not just at your big party outfits or your big like special night out outfits, but look at what you wear every single day and take cues from what you wear every single day. Like, it is so clear to me with what you're wearing right now. So I'm going to tell your listeners, she's got like a sherbet orange headband. She's got a hot pink tank top underneath a white tank top with like some thin black stripes. It looks like very thin pinstripes. And then you look at your background of your home and it's all white backdrop with these pops of color. Like, you're literally wearing what's your home decor. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And that wasn't planned. You had no idea I was going to say that, you know? And like, for me too, I'm in a, like a t-shirt. I have ripped jeans on, but it's put together, you know, and I'm not like, I don't think I'm like a total bum right now,
but it's comfortable. You're always a fashionista.
Thank you.
Tanya always dresses to the nines. I don't know if anybody listening has seen her shows, but you could wear ripped jeans and it looks like $1 million. Like, exactly you. What you embody, that kind of livable luxury.
Yeah, that's wear it.
That.
Thank you. But you know, if you can see in my house, it's all very neutral layers, monochromatic, casual, comfortable. So it's entirely what I'm wearing as well. And I usually like a big statement piece somewhere in my house. So like, I've got big hoop earrings on right now. And that's sort of more of a statement piece for me on this very basic, simple, raggedy outfit that I've got on.
It's great. And you match your home exactly too. Like, listeners, she's wearing like a maroon top, almost like a wine color. And I see the chairs behind on your waterfall, your bar area, and the back has a very similar tone and texture.
Like a mahogany kind of
mahogany.
Girl, mm-hmm. my dog matches my design decor. It is ridiculous. Like a brindle, and all of his like different colors of his fur totally match this house.
Yeah, I love that. Now, this is just something that popped in my mind. Do you think, I love how you said, look in your closet for cues. Do you think that the way you dress affects your design, which then affects your, I know we talked about this a bit, listeners, you weren't privy to our conversation before the recording, authenticity. Like, do you think there's a connection between kind of that theory, like the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, that helps somebody that wants to really like know who they are, kind of live their soul life, or just really kind of be true, most true and authentic to themselves?
Yeah, I think it's not always easy for people to know what's true and authentic. It's a hard thing for a lot of people because there's so many influences, friends, family, you know, outside influencers, social media, which is the best and the worst, you know, in terms of how we find our authentic self. But luckily, thanks to people like yourself doing podcasts like this, you really help people to find, you know, their inner authenticity. It's super important to me. And it's funny, I was just, my sister and I were chatting, and my sister was saying to my mom, you know, Tanya tries to not hold expectations. I hold people accountable. I have a company, I have a team, you know, in TV shows too. We have our design assistants that help us out, you know, like get everything done. And I hold people accountable. But my expectations of others, and this might sound negative, I don't hold high expectations necessarily of everybody, of people close to me, people that I love for sure. But it alleviates a lot of stress,
pressure.
A lot of pressure, right? Like, you're not upset if somebody didn't do something. I'd rather just say to them, I'd rather not sit here. An example would be like, oh, so-and-so didn't ask me how my presentation was today. Well, then don't wait for so-and-so to ask you how your presentation was. Just tell them how it was, you know?
Right, exactly.
Other than being disappointed that they didn't ask you, just, hey, guess what? I had my presentation. It was amazing, you know, and open that door. So there's, I think a lot of times people will get disappointed because someone in their life didn't ask them something about what happened that day. And I'm not saying never to be disappointed. Of course, like, you'd hope the people that you love will always remember, but everybody has stuff going on and everybody's busy. And,
exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. There's always, right? In any relationship, right? It's always, I like to say, in a marriage or any relationship, even in a work relationship, right? There's your energy and then there's the other. And then there's kind of your energies as a collective unit, right? And so I think a lot of people forget that. They think about either themselves or the unit, but they don't think about that other person like individually, right? What's right. going through their mind? What's going on in their lives? And I love how you said that expectation, that high expectation creates so much pressure. So
it's
like, a beautiful way to intentionally live your life, to kind of take that off of yourself, off other people. And I sort of have a little mantra where I say experience is not expectation, right? Like just have an experience,
right?
Whatever it is. And try, you know, I follow a very Buddhist lifestyle. Try not to label it, right? This is good or this is bad, or this person should have done this or that. It just is, even within right. ourselves, like we're having a good day or a bad day, or we're feeling this way or we're feeling that way, right? This podcast is about mental health as well. Just take that pressure off. If you're sad, allow yourself to feel sad. If right. something didn't go as yes. planned, I mean, look, listeners, you don't know, but we couldn't even get on Zoom for the first 5 minutes. And I'm sitting here freaking out because I value Tanya's time immensely. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm freaking out. And then I said, you know what? I get on here and Tanya is just joy, like pure joy. It's okay. Oh. Take your time, you know, blah, blah.
Fine. And, you know, it's all good. It's
right
all good.
In there. It's like, that says so much about you. And I even remember when we had to reschedule and you had your surgery and then you personally, your assistant reached out, but then you personally reached out. And like, that just spoke volumes to me because I've had a lot of guests on the show. I talk to people all day long online from all walks of life. And that little extra second that you took to personally message me, it really just meant so much. And so many people don't do, and I didn't expect that at all, but that just spoke. And that's what I mean. When you don't expect it, and then someone does something just so out of the ordinary, it just speaks volume for that person.
Right. That's back to expectations. You know, it's funny. You mentioned something about allowing yourself to feel sad. And I also have my own little mantra or thing that I do. If I'm having a bad day or something is really like, you know, we all have things in our lives that just fall apart and it sucks. But and I don't know if I'm being like too optimistic here, too glass is half full, but I promise you, this is just how I am. Like, I just genuinely am this way. So I will actually say to myself, you know what? You're allowed to be sad, but if it's really bad, I'm going to give you 2 days to wallow and be sad. But after that, it's not going to change the outcome of anything that just happened being sad. In fact, it's only going to make it worse. So I try to tell myself, give yourself that minute, give yourself that couple of days to just feel and allow yourself to be in that space. But almost like you have to put a timer on it. Now we're moving on. We are going to move on. And because the reality of the situation of that negative experience is that it is only setting you up for a very beautiful, positive experience. And in the laws of nature, laws of physics, there is absolutely no such thing as a high. If you do not have a low, you No. cannot possibly have a high. So it's like, I always tell myself, if this thing is happening to me now, like, thank you. Thank you. Because I feel like you're really prepping me for something really awesome.
Yes. Yes. And they've done a lot of scientific studies on that as well. And if you ever read the book, it's called Dopamine Nation by Anna Lemke. And it's really fascinating. She talks about that plain pain pleasure paradigm, yes. kind of like a seesaw, right? So it's like the more you seek pleasure, the more pain, because you're kind of right creating those two extremes versus kind of like a little pleasure, a little pain, and kind of keeping it more of that seesaw okay. and balance.
Okay. Right.
And it's mostly a book about addiction and all that, but it's the same right. concept, right? The more, and again, similarly, the more pain we have, it leads us, way back to really high highs, right? Yeah. But if we kind of seek to live a more balanced life where we're not kind of living in one of two extremes, exactly as you said, allow yourself to feel. I love that. I wrote it down. Give yourself 2 days.
Put a timer on it. Write it on your calendar.
On it.
And I'll go a little deeper with you because I feel like some of your listeners may be able to relate to this. And a lot of people don't always talk about these emotions. But like my husband and I, we went through IVF 7 times. And it was a struggle. Like, you know, you go through those highs and lows to an extreme, and then throw hormones into the mix. And it's like, geez, Louise, you know, like it's a lot. And I remember it finally worked, and we were so excited, and, you know, we got a positive test and everything. And then it was about like 8 weeks in or so. So it wasn't too far along. It was still very early, but we ended up going in for the ultrasound, and they were like, we're really sorry. You know, there's no heartbeat. So we were like, ugh. But my husband, I remember it was like hands, his head and his hand. He was so, so upset. Here I'm the one on the table, right? And going through all the stuff. And I looked at him and I remember this is where this came from. I told him, I said, I know this is awful. Like, this is awful. I'm as gutted as you are about this. I said, but we can't let this take us down. Like this, we can't let it take us down. So we're going to be sad, and we're going to deal with this for the next couple of days. And after that, we're moving on. We have to move on. Because there is literally no good is going to come out of like going down this deep, dark hole. So let's figure out the next steps and move on. And we've talked about it afterwards. And he was like, I'm really glad that you said that. And I'll never forget the ultrasound lady pulled me aside. She's like, geez. She goes, usually it's the other way around. She goes, I don't ever normally hear people ever say that kind of thing. And I was like, well, it's true. You know, so that was good. I think it was just a healthy way to sort of navigate our way through that really hard experience. And I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners that are going through this, or, you know, have these highs and lows from IVF, which is just incredibly, incredibly difficult, you know, and everybody has to handle it in their own way, for one, but that was just something that helped us.
I love that. And I love how you say just continuing it past the 2 days, it's really not going to do any good. In fact, like we talked about before, it'll reprogram yourself more to align with kind of that negative energy, as opposed to just allowing yourself to feel it and then, you know, moving on. I mean, we all have challenges that, you know, we're going through in this kind of new reality. And your husband is so blessed to have you for that regard, because you're like,
I'm telling you said that
the other way around.
And again, I'm using 2 days, right? I say 2 days as an example, like what for me, and listen, it's different for everybody, but and every circumstance is different as well. But I think it's important that, you know, with the pandemic, and a lot of people suffered a lot of mental health issues, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. And it is very easy to fall down that slippery slope and to like really get very deep there. And so it's my way of trying to dig myself out of it before it really gets a hold of me.
That gave me, you see the hair standing up, that gave me goosebumps. Also because this podcast was born in the pandemic out of my own personal depression, anxiety, and just trying to ride those waves and just kind of understanding like what is going on. It was born in 2020. And this has been such a relief for me and continues to be. And I'm on the other side now, but it was like, I just remember those first few conversations where I just did solo episodes. But again, like you said before, just showing up, just saying like, fuck it. And just showing up to the mic. I was like, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to hit record. Then I'm going to edit. Then I'm just going to post this and put it out there in the world. Yes. And now this podcast is in almost 50 countries. I mean,
that's amazing.
Showing the impact, right, of where this began to where it is today, and all the amazing guests that I've had on the show. Now you included. It's just such a blessing. Really is.
That's awesome. So happy to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you can kind of take those dark moments and just make them something that becomes your passion. It becomes your purpose. I always say your pain is your passion, right? And how to use kind of creativity to navigate some of those hard waves through life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And design is creativity at its finest. So
it really is. It brings me so much joy to see other people experiencing so much joy. And so when I design restaurants, which is really a mainstay for me, I started out doing HGTV. So I was doing a lot of homes. I still do homes, but my passion is restaurants. And I feel like I get to do what brings me joy. I can implement that joy not only to the owners of the restaurants, but also the guests, the user experience. So you have to make it really personal enough for the owner of the restaurant, but also mass appeal for all these various different people coming in, and also make a tie-in with the food and the demographics and the area. And like, there's just so much to it. And I love it. And I always want it to have longevity. You know, I don't want somebody to invest these restaurants are millions of dollars to build out. Oh, and you don't want it to last just 3 or 4 years, which is a typical shelf life of a restaurant sort of design. After 4 years, they always say it should have a refresh. But my goal is to make sure it lasts like 7, 8, 9 years, if that's possible, you know, like before it needs a refresh.
I love that. And I never even thought of that, home design versus restaurant. It's, you know, home design is just for you and of course your friends and family to enjoy. But when you design a restaurant, it's not just the owner, it's everyone that walks through the doors. And again, me being a total tourist, as my husband, to me, design is everything when I choose where I want to eat. Like if the aesthetic is not pleasing,
really?
To me, I don't care how good the food is. Like I am.
I
like to dine European style, right? Where it's like, you just sit for like 2 hours and just right, have a good conversation, a bottle of wine, you know, a delicious meal. And just like, it's an experience, right? It's not, you're not just eating just to eat. It's something that you'll remember. And my husband and I, we've had a lot of our anniversaries at these really like memorable restaurants when we travel. And these are part of like the highlights and the stuff that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And so knowing like someone like you, because of your design, right, brought this experience to each and every person that had a meal at that restaurant. I mean, that's got to be so heartwarming to know that you have that impact.
It's like the reason why I keep doing it is whenever a restaurant is done and I go in and I see people laughing and enjoying, or a couple on a date or an older couple holding hands, eating or feeding each other. And it's not even my food. You know what I mean? But it's just the environment, which means so much to me. So it's really, it's everything why I do it.
Yeah. And like I talked about before, it's the energy, right? The energy speaks through the design and that creates a certain feeling, right? Within somebody's heart and soul. And I think that's what sometimes, I know for me personally, I remember that more than the food. You know, food is food, but like the design, the experience, the conversation, like these are the things that we'll remember, you know, at the end of our days, you know.
It's funny you say that, because I can equally attest to the fact that if I have unfreaking believable food, I don't care if I'm in a shithole. Like I don't like the person that would eat in a little hut if it was like the most delicious food ever.
Yeah, it's funny.
One extreme or the other.
So what do you feel was your greatest catalyst to success being one of the top interior designers in the world?
Well, I mean, that's a bold statement, but thank you.
take it.
I just love what I do. So at the end of the day, if I'm continuing to do something I enjoy doing, I know that I can do it with passion. And so I know at the end, the outcome will be good. I always say this, like my husband, you know, you were saying in the bio, we have restaurants here in Boston. And a lot of times in conversations with the chefs, you can taste the love in their food. So if you ever go to like a chain and you just eat the food, it doesn't taste like anything because the person on the line is not cooking with passion and they're not cooking with their heart. And so I feel the same way about design. It's like, if I can design with passion and with my heart, and make sure that it is like checking those boxes of making sure that it makes the owner of the restaurant or the homeowner happy, the chef is happy, I'm happy, you know, everybody's happy, then it's just a great feeling. So I think that's the catalyst and what is helping my career along the way. But then I also think that we were talking about the fear and overcoming fear. And I just realized there are things sometimes like my office, I have a whole materials library. So wall coverings, floor samples, wood samples, you know, ceiling tiles, like you name it, everything you can imagine. And I remember 4 years ago, there were these wall covering samples that were on my shelf, but the names of the people, one was Candace Olson, who I've done HGTV with for years. The other is Tom Felicia. My first show that I ever did was on ABC Family with the same production company that did his show. And I just remember looking at it. I'm like, I just don't get it. Like, why can't I have my own line of wall covering? Like, why can't I have a box with my name on it on the shelf? And so it was like, game on, bring it on. This is like the challenge for me. And I started literally like asking my vendors if they could introduce me to the president of their companies. And look, I had a few doors shut in my face, but then all it takes is one, right? So then I kind of got in, I pitched my idea. They loved it. Pandemic hit, slowed it down, all this stuff. 4 years later, here we are. And it's finally launched. And I have my package with my name on it that's going in all of these design studios across the country. And it is just like, I was so persistent because I was adamant that I want this, like, I need this, you know? And I know it sounds like, oh, it's just wall covering, but it's like, there was something symbolic about, I just don't know why I can't have that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think a lot of us give ourselves enough credit. We always think, oh, wow, look at that person, this and that person, this, you can do it too. Like, there's actually no reason why you can't go out and make whatever that is that you want to happen.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I mean, so many layers to everything that you just said. But I want to bring up a couple of things. First, you said the catalyst was like tasting the love.
Yeah.
And like feeling that, whether it's the chef in the kitchen or the design in the restaurant. And I was giggling as you said that because my mother's a really amazing cook. Like, my whole life I've been blessed. When I was a kid, I didn't appreciate it. But now I really do. And I'm trying to get a lot of the recipes from her, even though I am not a chef by any means. I'm kind of a hot mess in the kitchen. But every time when I ask, you know, oh, what is this spice? Or what, you know, this tastes really good. What is this? My dad always has a running joke and he says, you know what the secret ingredient is. And he said, it's all about the love.
Yes.
And it's so funny when you said that, I just had goosebumps of that, because that's always like our thing. Like, whenever I say, oh my God, this recipe was amazing. Like, I could have the same curry dish at a restaurant. And of course, you know, it has meaning because my mother made it, but beyond that, you feel like the love, whether it's theirs, yes, or whether it's a certain restaurant, or, you know, the chef, or the service is great. Mm. And that speaks again, volumes for all, yeah, of that. But again, what you just said, why can't you have this thing? Same thing. You know, that was me with podcasting. Like, it took me years to get this up and running. Yes. And I've done all these other things in my business, but this is just the one thing that, like, I was such an avid listener. And I was like, why can't I have my own show?
Right. Exactly. And you did it. And hey, here's the big thing that people don't realize. If it doesn't work out, so what? If it doesn't work out, yeah, it doesn't work out. Move, yeah, on to the thing. Who cares?
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. At least you gave it a try. And, you know, like, right now, I'm actually, it's funny you say that. I was distraught a little bit last week. I'm getting into recording meditations. So totally different type of audio medium than this. Like,
yes,
not as powerful of a voice, a little bit more subdued, lots of pauses in between. And I'm a talker. So it's kind of like learning a whole different language. And I posted my first guided meditation, freshly recorded one, last week on Insight Timer. And yeah, I sent it to a bunch of people for feedback just from the community. And I'm not going to lie, I got some positive and some very negative feedback. And it's funny because the negative weighed down so much more on me. I don't know why, because I feel like I put my heart and soul into it. It's like I could see what they were saying, right, but it really weighed me down. Then I was just thinking about it, like, Jessica, this is the very first one I've ever done.
It's
not going to be perfect.
I know.
Right? I brought my podcasting voice there a little bit, but it's like, hey, who cares? Like, you said, fuck it. Like, yeah, at least you tried it, you know? Yeah. And yes, maybe it's meant for me, maybe it's not. But right now, I'm just playing around with it. And right, hoping that everyone that listens gets a little bit of calmness, a little bit of bliss, a little bit more joy in their life. And if that's all it is, that's beautiful.
Yes. And just to clarify, when I said if it doesn't work out, I wasn't referring to you.
Oh, no,
and like, I mean, in general, for people in life, that's what a lot of people have, that fear of, again, failure. They have a fear of rejection, you know? So there's just, you just got to let all that go. Just try it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I always say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So it's like, again, the fear of failing, you're already failing by not even trying the thing. So you only increase your chances by putting it out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you had just said something about, you know, these comments and things that people write and how you really sort of focus on those negative ones. when I guarantee there were probably more positive ones than there were negative ones, but we literally get sucked in by these negative ones. And trust me, I'm in a public eye. People love me or hate me, you know, and when they hate you, it's passionate and it's deep. And you're like, what? I'm literally painting walls here on TV. Like, why do you hate me so much?
Right. Give me a speak.
Yeah. But then you have to, this is something that I realized for myself is, you know what? It's not me. It isn't me. It's them. Like, I don't know. They're the ones with the issue. I don't know what, you don't have to like me. I don't expect you to like, no, of course, not everyone's going to love you, but it's like to have to take the time to write an angry message or a social media post or whatever it is, then there's something inherently wrong with that person. They need to get a life, you know? Exactly. And so it's like, well, I'm not going to sit here and let you take my energy away. Like, who the hell are you? You don't deserve that. So I'm just going to ignore you. And I'm only going to focus on all these positive things that people are saying. And then one of my friends actually, when I first started out in this career and I got a really awful email. It was this person. I think this is way back before social media. And it was more like message boards, dating myself. And this guy just said like awful, awful, awful things. And like, literally, this is a man saying that he wanted to punch me in the face and that he hated me so much, da, 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 like all this stuff. And again, like I said, I was painting walls on HGTV. Like this is where he's basing this off of. And I was so upset about it, but I had gotten hundreds of beautiful, lovely messages from so many people. And there was this one rotten email. And one of my girlfriends had said to me, she's like, you know what, Tanya? Now you know you made it. She goes, when people are that like fired up, totally. She's like, now you know you made it. I was like, I love that. I said, I'm going to take that. That's good.
Yeah. Because if everything is going right and you get no criticism, it's almost like you haven't really put it all out there. You know what I mean? Like you're holding something back, trying to make sure that everybody is appeased. But when you're just yourself, I always say you could be the juiciest peach in the patch, but someone's not going to like peaches and that's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Not everybody loves a peach.
And you're definitely a juicy peach. So, but you're right. It is. It's never about you. And I tell this to my clients all the time when they get distraught about being on social media or getting their business out there. And I know I'm a human too. I get upset. So I totally get it. But it's never about you. Like, first of all, it's not reality. It's perception. If someone can listen to the same recording, one can say it's amazing and peaceful and your voice is calming. And another can say the complete opposite. Is it the recording or is it the perception of the receiver of the recording?
Right.
So totally. Well, I wanted to, I want to be very respectful of your time. But if you have a few more moments, I just have a couple of questions. And of course, I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, The Break, which I thought was funny that we were talking about giving ourselves a break. Like I was going to ask you about how you got your big break and, you know, suggestions for other people, but I kind of like this energetic conversation. So I'm going to follow that flow of like giving yourself a break.
Right. So how do I give myself a break?
Yeah. Like how do you, or what do you recommend, you know, for people that are like really hard on themselves or they're just constantly like, they're a big bully and they just can't get over like that sort of self sabotage with the inner speak.
That's a good question. Cause I don't know if I don't meditate enough. Like I should meditate more. I don't like have a therapist or someone like that I talk to. I just feel like I feel gratitude, I suppose is the thing. And I think that's what gives me a break is like, if things are really upsetting, then I kind of just say, thank you for those upsetting things that are happening. And it's like what I was saying before that I think that it always prepares me for something good that's about to come. So to have that belief and have that faith that there's something better that's going to happen. So for example, rejection, if I'm going to give myself a break, I'm in an industry where television, like TV shows. I've been very lucky that Restaurant Impossible has been going on for 13 years, right? So that's unimaginable in television. But like, if a TV show goes away, well, what's next? You know what I mean? You don't know if you're going to get another show right away or how long things are going to go on for, or I could be in the running. I could audition for something and get so close and then not get it. And so instead of getting bummed out about it, that's a moment where I would be like, okay, thank you. Because I feel like you're giving me some room because something better is coming along. And it always does, Jess. Like, it always, something better always comes along. So in that moment of disappointment, I'll allow myself to be disappointed for a day or two. But then I'm like, yeah. But then after that, it's just like, okay, well, thanks. I guess you're grooming me for the next best thing. So that's probably how I give myself a break on things that get stressful, is that I just have to take it in stride and always, always remember somebody has my back. Like, I don't know if people out there believe in guardian angels or whatever. I believe I have one. And I feel like that my guardian angel has my back. And it's like, you're fine. And I also have to sit here and think, like, I was talking to one of my girlfriends years ago, and she was saying, oh my gosh, can you believe, I'm going to use in a match fictional name, Susie, right? We're talking about someone. She's like, can you imagine, like, poor Susie, she, like, her car broke down and then she lost her phone and then something bad happened at work and blah, 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 right? And she's going on. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Susie, but does Susie sit here and tell you about all the great things that happened to her that day too? Or is she just wallowing on all of the negative things? Because you or I could sit here and actually list off 15 terrible things that might've happened to us between yesterday to today, like 15 things. If we really wanted to say, oh my gosh, I stubbed my toe, or the water didn't come out hot, like my AC is busted right now, or, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't sleep enough. Like, there's enough things to wallow on and be negative about. But why? Like, there's all these other really great things, like gave me a big kiss on the face this morning. And I had the best cup of coffee I ever had today. And, you know, I got to see my design team this morning downstairs, and I don't get to see them every day. And it was such a productive meeting. So there's like all these different ways you can spin your day. And I think that that's important to shift your focus and your energy on good things.
I love that. I wish I could like listen to you and have you in my ears every morning, because I always wake up in such a negative space. But it's like, you're so right. It's, first of all, the two easiest words to say are just thank you for every experience, but to always seek to find the pleasure, no matter how small. So as I always say, when you seek, you will find. So if you want to find all the things that went wrong today, you'll find that. If you want to find all the things that went well, you can find that too. Right. And being this podcast is alive, I mean, this is just a little insider to my morning practice. That's the first thing I say is thank you for being alive. Thank you for waking up today, because not everybody, not to be morbid, gets that opportunity every day. Yeah. And every day that we open our eyes, that we're here on this earth, right, we have a purpose. And I think that's just to have that moment of humanity, you know, every single day really just shifts everything in your life.
Do you know what I've been doing for the last, as long as I can remember? Like, I truly don't remember when this started, because it's been that long. Every single morning, every time I take a shower. So if I take 3 showers in a day, every time I take a shower, I write thank you in the steam, whether it's a shower glass door or a mirror. And I write thank you in it every single day. It doesn't matter if I'm traveling, if I'm home. It takes all of half a second to write it. And it just reminds me. And so I step out of the shower and I'm refreshed, and I write it every single day. That's my daily practice. So I may not meditate and I may not like take the time, but that's what I do every day.
But you do take the time, right? It's, I always say, you don't have to meditate. Meditation is just one way to be mindful. But I love that. I actually used to have in my shower, they're called Aqua Notes. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's like a waterproof notepad. And so I didn't write thank you, but similarly, like, I would get all these ideas. They always say you get your best creative ideas in the shower. Yeah. Sometimes like my husband will walk in, he's like, what is going on here? Like a whole business
hour, you know. I'm having a meeting with myself, honey. Okay.
But I love that, just writing thank you in the steam or just in the glass somewhere where you can see it, or in the mirror. It's that moment of mindfulness and just gratitude. And beyond just saying it, this actually took me years, because I've had a gratitude practice, and I say this in air quotes, where I would just say the things, but I wouldn't really feel them. And it just felt kind of redundant. You have to feel it. And I think the shower is such a great way, because I always picture in the shower, like I'm washing away like that which no longer serves me, like almost like a cleansing and a ritual. So then having that thank you to replace that energy is perfect. It's beautiful.
That's great. I highly recommend anyone
start doing that.
Yes. Try it. It is just a nice, simple, very easy way to practice gratitude every day.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. So just a couple more quick rapid fire questions that I like to ask all of my guests. Do you have a quote or a mantra that inspires your life and your work?
Yes. Create bliss and design life. So there are actually two hashtags that I use all the time. I say create bliss, because both create bliss and design life speak to me on a professional level as well as a personal internal level. I love to create bliss just anywhere I go, like as far as energy goes. But at the same time, I like to create bliss as a designer. I want to create a blissful environment for people. And then design life is not just, this is my design life, but I'm also trying to design my life. Yes. So I try to design my life in a way that serves me as best as possible. So for years and years and years, when you're a nice person, you tend to put yourself last a lot. And I've learned that that's not serving anybody. So I'm not saying I put myself first all the time, but I think more about what I need to fill my cup, what I need to catch my breath, you know, and to be able to then better serve those people around me.
Exactly. Because then you're giving back from overflow rather than from a space of lack.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Create bliss and design life. And funny, you asked me at the very beginning, well, why did you ask me to be on your show? And it's exactly that. Like, I knew that that's what you were about, right? It's not just about aesthetic design. It's like designing your life, being intentional with your life, being intentional with everything, whether it's writing thank you in the shower or giving someone else a break and not putting so much expectation and pressures on them, right? All these little ways that you live your life that, no, you don't, may not meditate, but that doesn't matter, because it's like, you're already doing these things subconsciously. You're not even realizing it.
Right. Right.
Beautiful. It's a design. It's already designed in your life is what I meant to say.
Exactly.
Do you have any book or books that have changed your life?
You know, yes, The Secret has changed my life.
Yeah.
Without question. That's been one that I kind of have dog-eared and bookmarked, and I go back to, or like after a while, there'll be an audio version. So if I'm in the car, I just kind of listen to it, and not always, you know, every now and then I'll go back to it, or years will go by and I'll go back to it. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's a good refresh, good reminder.
Yeah. That's one of the very first books I think I read when I was on my self-development path, right when it came out, maybe years ago. It's amazing. Yeah. And the movie is really good too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think there's a lot of people that don't necessarily, or haven't necessarily gotten to the point where they're buying into this notion of the universe and, right, you know, what you give, you get, and all of that. But there really is something to it, you know, and I don't think it's hokey pokey, wishy-washy stuff. Like, it's energy, you know, it's vibrations. And it's like, the better vibrations you put out there in the world, the better it comes back to you. You put negative vibrations, you're going to get negative vibrations. It's really, to me, it's super black and white, very simple. And I agree with what you just said about how you have to feel it. You can't just say it. You know, some people will be like, well, I told the universe, I want $1 million. I didn't get $1 million. Right. It doesn't work that way. You know, and I don't know. It's just, and then there's a lot of times where people will say what they don't want.
Yes.
And that's what happens. Like, they, you know, I don't have enough money. Yes. So I want $1 million. It's like how you kind of phrase it. When you say, I don't have money, you're not going to have money. Like, it's you putting it out there that you don't have it, you know?
Yeah. Your word is your wand. I always say that, and it's not hokey pokey, and we could have a whole nother conversation about that, but yeah. To make a long story short, I mean, you know, my MO, I have the same ideology. Like, first of all, I'm living proof. Like, I used to live in a very negative headspace, and I completely shifted that, shifted my life. And I practice it all the time, whether it's manifesting abundance, manifesting, you know, joy in a relationship, manifesting a good day or a good conversation. You just have to visualize that experience and just like, as if it's happening right now, for it to come to fruit. Like, and like you said, it's energy, it's vibration. It's just like sound, right? The sound that comes out is the resonance that comes back to your heart. So it's really not hokey pokey. I mean, there's a little bit of spirit and a little bit of science in it all, but as we said before, just try it, you know? And if it doesn't work for you, if you don't believe in it, I always say it's not going to work. You have to, belief is everything.
I would say also, like, I think that it's really important, you know, you and I, we kind of get that. And it's not as easy for a lot of other people to understand that sort of philosophy, which is fine. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's headspace is in a different space. But like, for me, you know, I was saying that I genuinely like this, but actually, when I look back, there was a moment in time, it was during the pandemic, where, you know, business-wise, things were kind of like falling apart and all this stuff was happening. And I just felt myself crumbling. And this is what I would like to say to your listeners who are maybe experiencing that and finding themselves at a point where they can't get control of it because things are kind of falling apart. And I get it. It happens to all of us, like everybody, myself included. I had to nip that in the bud, and I ended up getting help. Like, I found a business coach. So for me, this was very business driven. And I found a business coach, sort of, he was like a life coach / business coach. And so he helped me just talking about it and like having a perspective from somebody that's not your friend, that's not a family member, like an outside person that can give you a very clear, clean perspective was so game changing for me. And it was such a huge help. And it snapped me right out of the funk. And so I feel like if anybody is hesitant or doesn't want to talk to somebody, I highly recommend it. Like, it is really good to get it out and then maybe get somebody who can coach you along on how to, you know, whether it is a therapist or a life coach or a business coach or what, if you're at church, somebody you could speak to there, you know, whatever it is, but somebody that's not biased necessarily. Mm-hmm. Is helpful.
Yeah. Someone that has an open mind and heart and a different perspective. Right. And that's what I do. That's the work that I do. And I have someone who helps me, right? Like I practice what I preach, and it's such a light. I can't even explain it. We could talk about this for hours too, but it's such a life-changing experience to have that in your life. And you clearly have felt that. And to me, that's what I value, right? We talked about abundance and value and what richness in life is. It's having those people in your corner. It's having that support, that accountability, that love, that like, I mean, I'm a self-development junkie, but like being your best self. I mean, you just can't put a price on that, you know, on really having that open perspective to receive stuff like The Secret, like the Law of Attraction, or learning how to manifest anything in your life is priceless.
Yeah. Well, I think you just said it, like, just be a good person. It's pretty simple, right? Exactly. Good person, and then everything else will work out.
Exactly. Exactly. Easier said than done. Well, easy for us, but don't expect that from others, right?
No expectations. You hope so. Like, that's the thing. You do want to expect it, but you know, you never know.
Disappointment. Expect the best, but surrender the rest, right?
Right. There you go. That's a good one.
That just popped in my head.
Oh, I love you. You should write that down. Write it down. It's good.
Right now.
Expect the best, surrender the rest. You heard it here first.
Expect the best, surrender the rest. I'll credit both of us for that.
That's all you.
You inspired that design. Inspired by Tanya Nayak Design Inc. All right. So to wrap this all up in a bow, being the Alive podcast, what makes you, Tanya Nayak, come alive?
Just living living my life, you know, having some balance, making the time to have balance. You know, we're always going to get stressed out. Everybody has moments where they're overwhelmed or whatever, but like, schedule it. If you have to, I feel like if I don't schedule a day off or a lunch with friends in advance, because I'll always, you know, there's always a, I don't know, there's this going on and that going on. Why don't we play it by ear? Nope, just schedule it. Schedule a massage. Schedule a walk. Exercise is huge.
Yeah.
You know, that's important. Self, and yeah. I'm trying to get myself back into it, but find something you enjoy doing. Like I dance and that's online and I do live classes with her and I dance and like, not only am I getting the best work out of my life, but I'm giggling the whole time, sweating, I'm dancing. And I will do a shameless plug because if anybody out there likes to dance, you've got to try her. It's Jeannie Fit, JeannieIe Fit, FIT. She is just, she's just a happy soul. Like she's everything just the way you are, you know, what you're talking about. She's just like a very positive, positive, happy person. And it all like almost feel like she has so much happiness. It's just the dance to like get it out. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, it's all hip hop and it's fun, but it's a workout. It is. It's no joke. It is a workout.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you. I'll include her in the show notes. I'll look her up and. I was also going to mention, I've had, I don't know if you've heard of this community, it's called Daybreaker. Dose, which is the four neurochemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, that's okay. released from dance. She did a lot of studies in like the science of dance. She was on the show last year, Radha Agrawal, as well as a couple members of her team, but same thing, they call it cultivating a joy practice.
Yeah.
And so Jeannie Fit sounds a lot like that. So I'll definitely check her out and link it up.
In yeah, check her out. She's awesome. She's become a really dear friend over the years. So
yeah. Oh, I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you, Tanya. This has been amazing. Truly, truly. I'm just so grateful for our connection, for this conversation, and for your time, energy, and wisdom today on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate you as well. And I love that you're spreading this good word out to people and being so positive and sharing your knowledge with everyone. And good luck with Insight Timer. I'll be checking it out. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great platform. They have more than just, I mean, obviously it's the largest community of free meditations, but they also have talks and like sound healings. And it's just a wealth of information for people that are in the healing space or just looking for some calm in their life. So
yes, super exciting. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How can our listeners stay connected with you? Anything you want to share?
Well, yeah, I'm on Instagram. People always joke around. They're like, what's Tanya doing today? I don't know. I'll check the gram. I'll check her stories and see. So my Instagram is just my name at Tanya Nayak, which is spelled T-A-N-I-Y-A. And my last name, Nayak, N-A-Y-A-K. But that's across all platforms. It's Tanya Nayak on Facebook. It's Tanya Nayak on Twitter and on Instagram. I signed up for TikTok, but girl, I can't keep up.
I don't know. I think it's past my reach. I'm not that young. Give away my age.
I'm trying though. Trying. So yeah. So that's pretty much it. And then the shows, you know, I just finished Battle on the Beach, gearing up for to start filming again for the Great Christmas Light Fight. And then Restaurant Impossible is going strong. So yep, there's all these great, great things happening.
Awesome. Well, we will stay tuned. Thank you again so much for your time today and so much gratitude.
Thank you. Thanks.
Blessings. So much love. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, I invite you to share the love with somebody in your world that really needs this message today. And if you're feeling extra generous, I would absolutely love if you would subscribe to my show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen and rate and review. Interested to know how this show has helped you come alive.